Even from here, I felt the resurgence of an ancient medallion reform, one I had destroyed long ago. Nismira's quest for power is never-ending as she attempts to seize things that are impossible to grasp. Caden and Isaiah stumble closer to a truth I wish to keep buried, and all I can do is watch. I felt the rip in Death's kingdom, felt the fear seep into the afterlife, and I knew two things. My son, Sam Kael, had died, and the woman who loved him more than even I threatened to tear worlds apart. I had to go because, as horrible as that was, it was not the unleashing of her power I truly feared. With Death's head turned, I was able to slip past his gates to the land of the living. My mission: find the woman Sam Kael worships and see if she can be the undoing of secrets I wish I had spoken before my demise. I must make her see, or I fear all hope shall be lost. Unir.
Prologue. The town had started to settle for the night as I left my home. I waved at a few shopkeepers as they closed up and sidestepped two drunkards, stumbling and laughing their way to wherever they were headed. The night was beautiful, the sky alive with stars, and I enjoyed the walk to work. I did better working nights, preferring fewer crowds. Plus, the lake came alive once the sun set, with or without the moon.
"You're early,"
my boss said, adjusting his straw hat. His white shirt strained around his lower midsection, the bulge of his belly enhanced by the worn dark pants he'd tucked into his knee-high boots. The dock was abandoned, the lake empty, and the usual crowds were absent. All the boats were still tied to the pier, and from the looks of it, none of them had gone out. "Slow night for lovers?" I asked. He shrugged.
"It's not that. The moon crests are nowhere to be seen."
I frowned, and he nodded toward the lake, telling me to look for myself. The boards creaked as I crossed them. I stopped at the edge of the pier beside the barrels of sparklers and leaned against the railing. The trees were silent, and no bugs floated around the hanging branches that teased the surface. There were no signs of the moon crests, even with the full moon casting bright beams of light deep into the inky depths. That was very odd. They were always active when the moon was out. I turned to ask him what he thought was happening, but I was alone on the dock. Nothing seemed amiss, the stars twinkling above and the breeze forming soft ripples at the lake's edge. Weird. Where had he gone? He wouldn't just leave, and he wasn't quiet or fast. Screams and sounds of fighting pierced the peaceful night, and I spun toward town. I started back down the dock, but froze when I heard the thick beat of wings above me. Something landed behind me, hitting the wood hard enough to jar me. When I turned around, I realized why every living thing around the lake had gone into hiding. The massive creature folded its four wings against its back, the transparent membranes flashing iridescent in the moonlight. Dark brown, plated armor wrapped around his shoulders and molded to his body, stopping just above his backward bent legs. His lower bony mandibles split into pincers and flickered, creating an ominous chittering sound. The sound activated my primal brain, sending shivers of alarm through me. I didn't know what this creature was, but every instinct I had screamed that I was in danger. I took a step back just as another thud sounded behind me, and the dock shuddered beneath my feet. I turned to run and slammed into the hard exoskeleton of a second creature. My ass hit the boards hard, and the creature reached for me with his four arms. Adrenaline surged through me, and I rolled toward the railing, scrambling to get back on my feet. I grabbed a paddle from a stack and swung. The creature blinked and chittered angrily as the wood splintered against his shoulder, but then he was atop me. My chest hit the ground, dust scattering as my breath exploded from my lungs. My wrists stung from where they'd bound my arms behind my back, and despite my struggles, there was no give in the bindings. I groaned.